Good morning and welcome to Morning Cyber. My name is Justin Robinson with Rogue Security. I'm here with my co-host.
Joe Flower from Cyberforce and Morning Cyber. How's it going, Justin?
It's good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's been a very, very, very busy week so far. And well, we've been catching up non-stop in regards to what we've seen on the internet and everything that's going on. I think before we go any further forward, I think we need to tie up this Twitter hack because I think it's come to some form of a conclusion. You were talking to me about it today. What did you see?
Well, some arrests were made. The very dramatic article on NPR that I read was Florida 17-year-old mastermind of Twitter hack and two others face charges. There's actually one of the other ones is out of the UK. But so arrests were made. I think we all know the backstory, so I won't get into that. But the interesting thing, just calling him a mastermind when all he really did was had he gained the trust of some Twitter employees, and like I just don't want to lose let's not lose view of what happened here, right? Some Twitter employees were social engineered, and their credentials were used to access stuff that should not have been accessed. So definitely they should be punished. And they will be, but let's make sure we're taking as much responsibility as we're giving.
Oh, I agree. So how did it happen then? So just for people that may not have heard it, how did this guy do it?
Yeah, so he was doing this type of social engineering on video games prior, and it's a very common thing as well. So if you've got children that are listening that are playing Fortnite, you've got V-Bucks. That stuff's worth something, right? It's worth money, and they use that and they sell it in game for real life money. And, he was taking advantage of people via chat on Xbox and PlayStation to kind of gain their trust and social engineer them into, just gaining access to their accounts or gaining access to, their funds or whatever it might be. So he basically just took that same model, applied it to Twitter engineers and Twitter employees who state they are so are that on Twitter, and yeah, he was he just he did the exact same thing. It's just a very, very illegal way. I mean, you shouldn't scam or hack or at all, but that's a pretty dangerous level, and he's definitely going to pay for it. I believe that all three of them are being charged as adults, so.
And how long do you reckon they'll get? Like, is there any cases? Like, is there a precedent set?
Oh, that's a very good question. There's like the criminal, like the codes related to computer acts, especially in the US, are like very, very harsh. So
No, I mean,
it's.
I've seen that from a kind of innocent bystander that the US seems to penalize cyber criminals so much more kind of, well, I suppose a lot stronger than they would for someone that just walks into a bank and takes money. And I think it's somewhat because they are scared. And the other way is that this is their opportunity to set a precedent. So if they want people to be jailed for longer, they can use this as an opportunity to do so. I don't know if you've seen that as well.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I don't think there's a great perception from a legal perspective, how this should be handled in a lot of cases. It's there seems to be we're in very businesses and those who have experienced hacks. We're still very reactionary. We tend not to react till after it happens. And the problem with that is that it just supports the people doing it. So we're still on this part of the environment of cybersecurity and information security that it's a waiting game, and so many people and so many organizations are willing to take the risk, and this is both personal and, you know, business, and they end up paying so much more after than, and there's nothing in the fore, there's nothing in the front of that. There's no security. There's nothing. So it doesn't really promote people to get and stay into the security industry.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
That was my rant. My,
yeah, fair enough. What else have you seen this week?
You know what? Just a more of just a anecdotal business experience. I'm seeing a lot of, not a lot of, but just you see more and more hacked websites with some of my customers and clients, and just from not having a plan. And I think a lot of times when we talk about the conversation about getting hacked and preventing it, we talk about updating our software and patching. But what we need to actually put in front of that is having a plan for updating and patching. So what ends up happening is you patch and update once, and then you forget about it, and you don't do it for a year and a half later, and then it doesn't happen again. If you put the word plan in front of that, which is basically just writing down and scheduling a set of, like, a checklist, especially if you're a small business. And for my personal cybersecurity clients, we kind of do the same. We just have, like, a what do we need to do if something happens, little checklist.
Yeah.
Just to be able to be prepared.
Okay, fair enough. So with that in mind then, my worry is a company like Wix, or something like that, where you can make these free websites, them getting hacked. What would happen if Wix got hacked, do you reckon? Or Shopify or something like that?
And you know what? The big risk with that, obviously, is that you've got multiple shops being hosted in the same place. And it's the same thing with shared web hosting services, kind of like we just talked about. If they get into one website, sometimes they may be able to find a, you know, way into the back end of the other websites just from that one vulnerable website on the server. Or, you know, in the case of Shopify, it could be, you know, a service like Shopify where it's a standalone platform is a little bit more secure. Typically they're, and when I say that, it's more secure in the sense that they typically won't just be able to hack you. They'll be able to hack everybody, and they'll just go for the platform. So,
Okay.
I guess the moral there is just to understand risk. There's always risk. So, like, I think, like, I always think about the, like, what could happen. But there's defenses in place. And unfortunately, in some cases, those defenses kind of stop at the stuff that you have. So, you know, Shopify isn't going to watch the images on your website, on your Shopify page. So if something happens where a malicious actor is able to change them, you may not know about it right away.
No, it might take a little while for you to realize. I mean, it's like you said, with someone that you'd seen had been hacked, they hadn't realized, and it had been about 2 weeks. So anyone that visits that website has been a lot of trouble. Now, there are quite a few different things that I've seen over the last couple of days, and one of them is in regards to Microsoft Teams. Now, lots of companies use Teams. Some still use Google, like Google kind of Meet and Google. I don't, what do they call it? Google Hangouts, is it? Is that what they call it?
Do people use Google Hangouts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know people that did. But so hackers can abuse Microsoft Teams up data to install malware. So this came up today. It's from bleepingcomputer.com. I get quite a lot of my news from them, obviously, shared onto LinkedIn. That's how I find it. And It describes that the patch previously provided for Teams was to restrict its ability to update via URL. Instead, the updater allows local connections via a share or local folder for product updates. So I found it quite an interesting one because obviously everyone's using it now. And it just shows that Microsoft, which is shown to be like one of the safest companies, is actually still just as liable. No, that's the wrong word. Just as, what's the word, Justin?
Trusted, maybe. Reliable, you said. Trusted.
Yeah, well, they are reliable, but they're not as reliable as everyone thinks that they are. There you go. That's the way to say it.
Yeah, so this is interesting, and this is a good example of what I would call like a possibly unwanted thing. I'm not going to call it program. So this is just what they realized that is that the updater had like a functionality. It was really meant to make administrating easier, and turns out that also allowed the ability to update based on a different source and upload. Yeah, it looks like there was... Yeah, interesting. So hash checks and tracking SMB connections from Microsoft Teams updater in particular. Yeah, this is so sorry, back on topic. I lost it there a little bit. What seemed like a good idea to make things easier may not have that functionality in the wrong hands. So that's where a security professional comes in. And very likely there'd be other security controls in your environment that would prevent this from happening, because you obviously need to be able to change a lot of things and modify and have a very specific way of updating Teams for this to be an issue.
I see. Fair enough. So that was obviously the main one that I saw, and I kind of reposted that today, but there have been quite a few others. My week, to be honest with you, Justin, has been somewhat jam-packed trying to find different people. So it's been one of those weeks where you get your head down and you just kind of focus on that, and you hear stuff more from candidates than I have from going on social media. So, for example, the whole topic of the skill shortage has come up again with candidates. Yep. And also pay within the sector has come up. Now, for some of our listeners, I know that they're not actually within the cybersecurity sector. So to put it in perspective, imagine you were, well, this does happen as well. You're underpaying your security guard at your store, so they're just not going to bother looking after it anymore. Like, they're not going to try and stop someone from stealing from it. But that's kind of what it is in some of the markets at the moment, where companies aren't willing, they're still not willing to pay the fair rate for employees. Now, Justin, you've worked in the sector for a fair time. Have you seen the pay increase, decrease, stay the same? What have you seen it be?
I took a very interesting route, but what I've seen in the industry is that you've got the enterprises who can pay their people a lot of money. And so they get all of the security folks because obviously they're able to pay them a lot of money. So that's what the market looks like, but that's really obscured because like small businesses, medium-sized businesses, a lot of organizations need security people. I think as opposed to an unwillingness to pay for security professionals, there's a lack of understanding. And so I think a lot of organizations simply go to their IT department and say, you are also responsible for security,
yeah.
which can definitely work, no doubt. And other times it can't. So Unfortunately, when it does, it's a bit of a veil, and then when it doesn't, you're perplexed as to why.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that was kind of when it comes to the cyber news, for me, it's been more talking to people, as I said, and just having conversations. There was one candidate of mine who actually made me privy to a kind of post that was put up on Wired.com, and it was about how hackers have now made an app that kills just to prove a point. So I think in a previous episode, we've been talking about devices, smartwatches, that kind of stuff. But I think we may have broached the topic of pacemakers. And this group of hackers actually did hack one. And it was just to prove a point that they could kill someone with a couple of clicks. Now, it was very interesting. It wasn't, I said pacemaker, it wasn't a pacemaker. I apologize. It was an insulin pump, which is scary enough. And it was
So, for
a
someone
company called
who's.
Medtronic, I think.
Haven't heard of the brand, but for someone who's. My mother has diabetes, or has diabetes, and
Okay.
she uses one of those electronic sensors. Excuse me.
That's okay.
To record her insulin. And so that absolutely scares me, scares the crap out of me, because that's definitely something that I think about when I think about her. Very frightening.
Yeah, it is scary. I mean, it just shows that. I just thought we'd get that bit in there. But now, I mean, with this podcast, we typically just go over the news and what's been happening and all that kind of stuff. But I think we should flip it a little bit and discuss what we want to see happening more. I mean, I was in a couple of conversations, and I would like to see a couple of our listeners, I'll do it as well, come to you next week with some questions, Justin, about our thoughts upon cybersecurity, and just to listen to your kind of hypotheses on those. So I think what I'm going to ask is anybody who has any questions for Justin, just send them in and he can answer those next week. I've got a few that are lined up, so be prepared for it, Justin, I think is the best way to describe it. And
Perfect.
as you all heard, like last week, we're trying to implement new things into the podcast instead of just sitting here talking to you about the different news articles. We are trying to involve Justin in some kind of quizzes. But then there's other stuff as well that we've got coming up. Like we've got a social media contest that's kind of run its course now. Did we manage to? I don't know if we haven't really spoken about it. Did you find a winner, Justin, or have we still?
We have not drawn. We will do that our next episode. We'll
Okay.
look at our historical follows and stuff. We're just compiling all of the metrics, and we'll be able to do the draw. And we'll do it with a little bit of, I'll record it on video just to make sure that everything's kind of like, here's all the people and it's all above board. So we'll
That
provide
sounds
that
good to
somewhere on the
me.
website after the fact.
That sounds good to me. So yeah, we're just trying to implement new things in. So if you have any suggestions or if you'd be interested in different stuff, just feel free to reach out to us, I think is the best thing to describe it. Now, back to the regular broadcast, I think is the best way to say it. I was just thinking, Justin, I watched a film the other day and I wanted your opinion on this. It
Oh.
actually goes with what we've just said, and it's about, because I think Elon Musk has been saying something recently where he's got this thing where he can put a chip in your brain or something like that. Now,
Yeah,
would you
that
do
sounds
it?
safe.
Well, would you get a chip put in your brain?
No, absolutely not. Never in a million years.
Okay. For people that think it's cool, why wouldn't you?
So my immediate concern there is privacy and control of the data and storage of the data. So what's being collected, who's using it, how's it being stored, how's it being moved around? All of those things are just data points for a hacker, and they're like, oh, these are just different points that I can grab this information and put it together. And so I worry, you know, there's valid reasons for this. This is actually interesting because there was much privacy concerns around the COVID-19 and Health Canada app, very somewhat similar, because, you know, the suggestion was that the government was going to use it to track you. But there's, and I went into reading this report very negative. I was not a believer, but they did a report on the privacy of the app, and there are actual ways to anonymize certain pieces of the data so that, you know, all of the processing is done on your phone, or, you know, in that case, it was the phone, or so just to protect your location in that instance, or if it kind of, you know, it was always like just a random identifier that changed every time, you know, that kind of just allowed a certain tracking, and you would just get a notification that would say if you were ever in contact or in close proximity. Now, the really interesting thing is that if you do end up contracting coronavirus, they give you a code that you can enter into the app, and that actually allows them to track you as an individual with your name, your information. So that's where it kind of turns into like a, okay, so you're not, it's fine to keep me safe, but then once, if you use it to the point where there you have to put in a code to track you individually, then they can track you. And then it brings up the questions, what are they going to do with that information? How long are they going to keep it? What might they use it for? There's a lot of questions about privacy in my mind.
I agree. So yeah, it was a bit of a different one. So what have you got planned for this weekend, Justin? What have you got upcoming?
Well, I got some softball, mostly sports. I spent a couple of days out in the sun and at the beach last weekend, and I'm very sun-kissed. So I'm going to try and stay out of the sun as much as I can this weekend, just to give my skin a break.
I think I'll probably be doing the opposite. I've been indoors quite a lot, so I feel as though I should. I'm not a big beach person, so I won't be going to the beach. I'll probably go for a walk in the woods or something. But the issue is here, as you know, the mosquitoes can be pretty dreadful. I think I'll just be out walking about and all that kind of stuff. Probably go out for a nice meal or something like that. Get some, make the most of the fresh seafood season that we have here on Prince Edward Island.
Yes.
Take in some of that afternoon glow, I think, is the best way to describe it. So that's my plan for the weekend. And I mean, that is all subject to change, as always. So there are a few things that I feel as though we should somewhat celebrate going into next week. Number one is obviously this is our 8th podcast. And to be honest, I didn't think we'd get this far. I think we hit a total listeners, which is quite cool. We hit total listeners of something like 250, which was quite interesting, I thought. I don't know what you thought about that. I don't know if you've seen that as of yet, Justin, but it was 250 in total, which was quite cool. And there's lots more content to come, I think, is the best way to describe it, isn't it?
That is very exciting. I did not know that. I'm celebrating right now. That's awesome. Yeah. No, I'm pumped, and I'm glad we're at 8. I think we should celebrate every 8. I like that, because then it's, 16. No, we have to do it 8, 16, 32, 64, just because it's,
That makes
binary.
Sense to me. That makes sense to me. Okay, so the other thing as well is obviously we mentioned in our last podcast that we've got a couple of other ideas on the go at the moment, and one of them's included a soccer podcast. So we'll put the link to the website for that one as well, and we'll put a link to the website of the Morning Media Company, which kind of was an afterthought, wasn't it, Justin, of Morning Cyber? So that's an interesting one. And then we also have, I think I've got an opportunity for somebody, if someone knows someone that's at college, someone at university, that's looking to add to their project / product portfolio from a marketing standpoint, I have some work for them. And it will be really good to get a student involved, because I feel as though it could be quite a benefit learning curve for myself, Justin, and for them in the long run. So if you have anything to add to that, that's great, Justin. I don't know if I got it all out perfectly.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Morning Media Company, really excited. If you are passionate about a topic, definitely let us know. You can reach us. Our contact is info@morningcyber.com. I'll post all the links to all the different social medias and make sure that we get connected.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much, Justin. And let's catch up next week.
Cheers, Joe.